This is RSBNB Update, episode 172, recorded Friday, October 3rd, 2008. Rudy Giuliani. Hello, Brad. Good to have you back this week.
Hello.
Is everything okay from last week?
Yeah, everything's fine. I should run out. Was it two hours before we did start, or an hour?
Yeah, 2 hours.
Very short notice. But yeah. Everything is fine.
Oh, that's good to hear. Anyways, so
everything is effed up, insecure, neurotic, and emotional.
What does that mean?
Oh, come on, we've been through this before.
Oh, right, fine. F-I-N-E, right, fine. I got gotcha.
You.
I got gotcha.
You. And I said, yeah, I'm fine. That means I don't consider you on your own. Never mind. It's just not worth going there. It's just not worth it.
Okay, Defender of Rock. Did you do this quest?
I think a well guess.
Yes.
Has a lot of quest requirements.
Yes, it does.
Shield of Arrow, Knight's Sword, Romeo and Juliet. A lot of the old free-to-play quests.
Exactly. Also, Garden of Tranquilizers, as people like to call it, but Garden of Tranquility, that was such a nice quest, one of the few farming quests that's actually been released, you know? Farming. What's wrong with farming?
Lots of things.
You also need 51 agility, 51 hunter, 54 smithing, and 59 mining.
So it's going to involve running away, catching something, making something, and mining something.
Actually, you're right.
I deduced that just from the requirements.
Yeah. You also need to be able to claim Varrock Museum kudos, because you need to go talk to someone in there, and you need to be able to survive in the wilderness, because a very small part of it takes place in the wilderness north of Varrock.
How deep into the wilderness?
Chaos Altar.
It's not that far, then.
Yeah. No more than level 10, I'd say. Graveyard of Shadows at the most. But anyways, basically this is... If you guys are bold and adventurous and whatnot, and you like reading, I suggest you read the Lores and Histories, Arath, parts 1 through 4. We'll take a short break. Will you guys do that now? Break. Okay, we're back. Now that you've read that, you'll realize that part 4 of the storyline kind of continues off in an unknown way, and Arav has supposedly been killed. But, oh yeah, by the way, that was a spoiler. I'm sorry if you guys like reading that, but I honestly don't know who would like to read that. I found it slow and hard to keep my eyes on and pay attention to, you know?
Yeah.
I find it would have been better if somebody was doing a dramatic reading of it, you know? Like you know those guys who narrate the BBC documentaries?
You watch BBC documentaries?
Actually, yeah.
Which BBC documentaries have you watched?
There's one about the planet and how it's like an active planet, you know? There's one like that.
David Attenborough, probably.
I don't know.
Does the guy narrate it? Does he sort of... I can't do a David Attenborough impression, but he has a very distinctive accent.
I don't know. Then there was another one about basically all the different regions of the world and whatnot. So, those were two that I sort of have watched. But aside from that, yes. It would have been nice to have a dramatic reading of these stories, but anyways. So this quest starts off like most others. You go to, what's that, Varrock, and then there... Up in the there's in the tower one of the captain. Oh, I forget his name already. Let me look up his name quickly. But basically, you go up there, and there's been rumors of, apparently, that a zombie invasion is coming. Oh yes, Captain Rovan. That's an interesting name, Rovan. You know, like he's roving around trying to defend stuff. You know what I mean? But so. He says that there's a zombie massing in the wilderness at the Graveyard of Shadows, so in order to do that, you have to go up there and take a look, right? So here comes where the wilderness survival comes in, right? So this is actually where your hunter skills come in. As you remember, in the hunter skill, there's the tracking ability, right, where you can track certain creatures where they went. You need to do that in this case to track the zombies' footprints.
That can be difficult. Zombies move rather slowly.
Yeah, but you have to, like, move the stuff and not out in the open, so of course you need the hunter skill for that. I don't know why, but...
So yeah. A possible addition to hunter could be you can hunt zombies.
No. No. And then you follow them down to the Zamorak Chaos Altar there, and you realize there's a trap door, so you go down, you see they're there, and then of course you will see that the zombies are massing, and they're actually concocting a plan to invade Varrok. For some reason I wanted to say Iraq there, I don't know why. Maybe it's that last syllable, it sounds the same.
Yes, the American zombies invaded Iraq. Mindlessly and brainlessly following whatever the head zombie says.
Who will be replaced come January?
Do not question the head zombie, for he is all-knowing and all-powerful. He has an IQ in double figures, for God's sake. More than the rest of you.
Okay.
Okay,
well,
enough stat.
Nice one.
Enough
nice stat. One there. Anyways. Oh, after this you see that Irav is actually still alive and being controlled by the zombies, his body and spirit. So they're using him to sort of mass the zombies. And
sounds like a really rubbish story.
No, it's starting to pick up, okay? Yeah.
Okay.
So after you realize that this is happening, you head back to Varrok, report back, etc. And then you realize that there's this shield of Irav, mind you, so you have to go talk to Thurgo and then back and forth and then get more insight and then, I'm not going to go into the rest of it, but basically you talk to Thurgo, then you use this Sacred Forge, which is below ice, inside Ice Mountain, and then you use that to realize that, get insight on the situation that actually there are people who are currently still alive that have insight onto what's happening in Varrok. So, anyways, moving on. Then, of course, after this, you need to defend against the zombie invasion, and you need to find one of the descendants of the founders of Varrok. Different for every player. And then after that, you go to Dimininethis. I don't know. The guy who does the gauntlet thing, you know, in that little... I can't say his name. He's in the little caged area, you know? By the gate.
Yeah.
You go talk to him, and then he's the shield of Irav and destroys the zombies. So, that's pretty much the quest. Quest points, 10,000 Hunter XP, Mining XP and Defense XP, 2,000 Agility and 15,000 Hunter XP.
I guess it's not that bad.
Like... The reason I liked it was just tying off the storyline rather than starting a new one, you know, like most of these quests do.
Yeah, that's one pro, but they've still got a lot of other storylines they need to finish up.
Yeah, so this was just one that was sort of a history-based quest that's sort of describing what happened to Irav and then what's going on now that Varrok is safe from those zombies, and then now the main worry is the people from the other side of the river in Mauritania, swampy area. So, I don't know. I guess they're sort of just trying to say that, that we're safe from the zombies now. We just have to worry about the Firewatch and whatnot. So, I don't know. It was an interesting quest. So,
I'd just make the point, though, that in all of the other games which have zombies in, zombies have never, ever been that much of a big threat in games. I mean... You see horror movies where zombies, you know, kill everything, but they've never been that much of a threat in games.
Well, they're not much of a threat here. They're only, like, level 85.
Yeah, but they still, you know, had the plan to, you know, Varrok and... Varrok, not Varrok.
Varrok.
Yeah, so, but I just... I guess it's something different. Credit to them, they've not just copied some other game. But,
Another thing I liked about it was based in, like, history lores. Like, they should be pursuing that in other directions too, you know?
Hang a second. I thought earlier you said that the whole story behind it was boring and pointless.
No. I said the reading of it and the way it was structured, like, the content of it was nice, but just the wording and stuff, it was hard to follow. Like,
so you'd like to see a movie concerning this, would you?
I wouldn't go that far.
A short movie?
No. No, the short movie can be the quest, actually. Just
should do
your...
what Blizzard do. They should try and make, like, cinematics, but not actually, you know, using any graphics, just in-game.
They actually did that with this. Well, the cutscenes, you know?
Not the cutscenes. Yeah, well, sort of in the style of the cutscenes, but a much longer duration to explain the stories. I'm sure that they'd have the capabilities of doing that.
Yeah, because basically all they need to do is control the camera and pretend it's like some area that players can't go, you know? But
yeah, get the characters and get some voice actors. I think it would be quite good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so yeah, you also...
have been vastly improved. Anyway,
when you're accessing the Sacred Forge, you're accessing the dreams of these people, including the Queen and the Wise Old Man. They're all warning you about the attack, and then it gets taken over by, is it by Zimoragel? I can't pronounce these names, but yeah. So I don't know if you like these kind of historic types quests, this one's for you, and it brings you to it adds 2 quest points. So, and they haven't done that for a long time, so. Good on
Isn't 2
that.
Quest points an extra second in Tears of Guthix?
Yes, it is, actually. Each quest Woo! Point represents 1 second.
I thought it was 0.5 seconds per quest point.
Hmm. Why don't you go time it?
I'm not going to time it.
How about somewhere. I go tonight and time it, because I have 269 quest points, but I don't know.
Tears of Guthix will give the answer.
Anyways... I give this quest a 4 out of 5. What are you doing?
I'll give it a... I'm just looking at something. In a second, I'm trying to find out. I'm sure I read somewhere. Okay, the more quest points a player has, the longer the player is able to collect tiers, and therefore the more experience the player gets. The formula is believed to be every quest point, player gets 0.5 to 1 more second above a base time limit.
Oh, so it's in between somewhere.
A player with 235 quest points has about 235 seconds or 235 seconds? That would be good. 2 minutes, 35 seconds or 155 seconds when playing the game.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah, this is funny. It says, it is best to be calm as the tiers tend to switch randomly. I always used to think when I played RuneScape regularly that Jagex hired somebody to switch the tiers around because they always seem to change just as you go for them.
Really?
Yeah, Tears of Guthix was probably one of the more frustrating aspects of RuneScape for me.
Really, I find it relaxing and what's the word?
What's the word? Cathartic.
Useful. I don't know, cathartic. Something like that. But
yeah, it is really useful. I mean, I always did it every week when I was logging on regularly because I think it's really useful. It's like basically it's usually around about 6,000 plus free experience for a skill over 30. It's well worth doing.
Yeah, exactly. Anyways, Clan Wars change. You're now able to replenish your food and supplies from people you've killed.
Boring.
Why? It's actually useful. I could have actually used this at the event because we did it in free to play, you know, and I brought monkfish.
Idiot.
But we still won. We each team won half the game, so.
Who was on your team?
I had MLI, which has 99 defense, Waffle 350, 99 strength, Burnt Joint was our mage, and Chief Snake. And I think we also had Flash, and sometime Mike joined our team after the other team got a high level.
I'll be blatantly obvious. I would have expected you to lose every game.
No. I did it strategically, you know. I made sure I had someone with 99 defense, 99 strength, someone who
was your MVP?
That was me.
You were the MVP.
Oh, MVP. I thought you meant VIP. No,
MVP, most valuable player.
Oh, I don't know.
It's the best player.
I'm not sure who that was. But basically, we had MLI and Waffle on melee. Burnt Joint was on mage. Chief Snake was on range. And then Flash was
Chief Snake was on farming.
No, actually, yeah.
As the enemy attacked, he planted trees and weeds and cabbages.
You can't do that in a free-to-play.
I was... What's going to ruin my fun, Shane? I dare you.
So you should have come. You could have been the other VIP, you know?
I have rubbish combat skills.
So, your team protects you.
Yeah, I would need a team to protect me.
Okay, back on track here. Range of lendable items increased. So they say a smaller amount of the new treasure trails items, as well as some old ones, dragon spears, and most rune and granite armor and weapons. You can check out the game controls for that. You know, you could probably lend your top hat now, I think.
Yeah, except I wouldn't really want to. It's my top hat.
Yes. Are you still getting 99 cooking?
No, I gave up on that. Oh. I thought the idiots at the monkfish place could not be surpassed. Sadly, I had not anticipated the idiots at the Thieves Guild.
Okay.
There are some real idiots cooking at the Thieves Guild. Real. Not just like small idiots. Like, you know, these people must be mentally deficient. That type of idiot.
In other news, the Ectofunctus now has a grind X option for people who want to train their prayer that way, so that's interesting. So.
Yeah, well, they made, you know, almost everything else that you have to click on multiple times in this game grind X, so seems like the natural progression would be to make that as well.
Yeah, and I think if you added burn X to, like, fire making, that would totally defeat the point of the skill.
Yeah, but sort of like it did with cooking. Cooking ended when they introduced Cook X. What's the point in cooking anymore?
Yeah, same There's with no fletching point. And whatnot, you know? It was faster beforehand. But anyways,
no, but
yeah.
Cooking, now you can just...
sit back and relax, yeah. Eh? Nothing like cooking in real life, is it?
No, imagine if it took like 2 hours to cook one shark. Nobody would have 99. Except the most extreme of no lifers.
Yeah. Bracelet of
you.
What? I'm not a no lifer.
I know, I was just taking the piss.
Bracelet of regeneration has been given combat stats. Apparently it didn't before. That's the one that'll heal hit points every 2 minutes or something along like that, the Onyx bracelet. But really, who bothers with an Onyx bracelet or an Onyx necklace when you can make an Amulet of Fury, you know? But
yeah, that's a good point there, Shane. Nobody's really
trade margin increase. Me and you disagreed about this earlier in the week, didn't we?
How did we disagree? I don't. I remember that
I said it's a bad idea increasing the limit to 60,000 at 270 quest points.
Oh, because you think that this is going to bring back
No, not that. No.
Well, how did we disagree on this then? Because I don't.
I disagreed on it that. If you give this, people will want more, and really Jagex is opening up a whole other can of worms here, when really 30k was just fine.
I think, on the whole, it's good, but I think at the end of the day, there still is a trade limit. So until there is no trade limit, it's not really much of a change. I mean, 30k, you know, there must be... a lot of items worth more than 30k in the RuneScape economy, so it's not like it actually moves us any closer to a... Well, it does move us a little closer, but it doesn't make any sort of substantial steps towards being a free market. So I would say no, it's not a bigger change.
No. But I don't know. I just think they should have kept it at 30k. You know?
I don't see the great difference, really. If I mean, between 30 and 60k, that's my point.
It's 30,000 GP.
Yeah, obviously, Shane, there is a difference. But, I mean, in terms of the economy, it's barely a change. That's my point.
But when you think about it, people are most likely going to use this to their advantage to help their friends and whatnot. But I guess that's okay from that standpoint, you know what
I mean?
Are you
against giving items to your friends?
No, I'm not, actually. Because somebody I know needs to come buy something from me, I will attempt to give them a reduced price, so.
But you can't really do that.
See? If you would have had 270 quest points...
See, senor!
Yeah, see? If you would have had 270 quest points now, I could get you some dragon boots for very cheap.
Too bad I'd already got some off the Grand Exchange, because I asked you for some, and you're like, I've only got one pair.
Yeah, and I told you you could wait. waited a day for me to go get some, but you didn't want to.
Shane, you should have known that the fact I was playing RuneScape was not going to last for any longer than about 10 minutes. I needed them there and then. I got really bored with 99 cooking, so I stopped at 94. I sold all the raw monkfish I had. I sold all the cooked monkfish I had, and I had about 7 million. So I bought Guthix. No, not full Guthix. Full Guthans. Guthix. I don't know where Guthix's from. And some dragon boots, and what else did I buy?
Seeds?
And no. I just bought Guthans, and I trained Slayer, and a whip again, because I've stole my whip ages ago. And basically, I just did that.
Okay, you're still
doing
that?
And then I got bored of that after one day, and I've not logged in since.
Oh. Yeah, talk to me after. We'll get you something to do. Evil Dave's postbag. All these messages, I don't know why they're called Evil Dave's postbag. I guess he's handling it this month.
But guess he has nothing else to do.
There's one that I liked called the Dear Bounty Hunter Banker. I've always wondered how hard it is holding up all that stuff in your huge bag. You carry everybody's stuff. I would say my stuff alone is too much for you to carry. How do you do it? Did you develop a high strength level? Or is there some sort of enchantment on your bag? I'd really like to know. Your greatest fan, Goblin Dude 3.
I'm sorry, Evil Dave has a fan?
No. This is going to the Bounty Hunter Banker.
Oh, Bounty Hunter. Oh,
only
yeah, sorry.
Evil
okay.
Dave was okay. Distributing these.
Yeah, okay, but the Bounty Hunter guy has a fan?
Yeah, the banker.
Okay.
And then the little guy responds, it's really kind
almost
of you to send me a letter.
As the people the other week, the last time I was on, who classed their character as their friend. My character is my friend. Sure he is.
Oh, it's really kind of you to send me a letter and not that big-haired bully.
Oh, welcome, Shane. Mandrith. No problem at all.
Here are a few things he's done this week. Paid bounty hunters to bank their chinchampas and roll me downhill. Wrote kick me revenants on my sack as I was walking home. Banked a live
what?
Shark. Glued me to my sack and then
Read
pushed
that
me
last
over.
One.
Wrote kick me revenants on my sack as I was walking home.
Okay, sorry, I got completely crude humor out of that, and I'm sure anybody
Why?
With a dirty mind understand what I mean.
Why? But what do you mean?
No, I can't tell you if you didn't get it.
Okay, tell me on MSN then.
Think of euphemisms.
Anyways, it goes on to say, it's enough to make me cry, still I have one thing Mandrith doesn't, and that's a sack. It's not magical. If you place things perfectly in a sack, you can get them to cancel each other out. It's called science. Maximilian the sack Sackville. Okay, thank you for enlightening me to that on MSN, but I really don't follow that and how that actually can be true.
Okay, well then just think about what it is and what it does and what it has in it. Okay, forget it. I'm just not going to talk about this.
if anybody knows what Brad was talking about there without him telling you, send him a PM and he'll count the number of PMs he got next week on next week's show. Will you do that for us?
I think only the dirty minded people get it. It was just the way you said it the first time, written on my sack. It was the way he said my sack.
Okay. So if you know what Brad was talking about, send him a PM and he'll give us a count next week.
Send me a PM on the forums, or you can email me.
Forums at rsbnb.com or Brad at rsbnb.com.
Yeah, either of those.
Brad at rsbnb.com is the email. I don't know how I got forums at rsbnb.com, but it's forums.rsbnb.com. I don't know where that
sure,
came
if,
from.
Sure, if they're able to access the podcast, they must be able to access the update site, which means they must be able to access the forums.
Oh, okay. Something a little more normal. Behind the scenes for October, PvP Worlds and Halloween. Those are their two updates they're going to be pushing out this month.
I may log in to check the PvP Worlds.
We're actually probably going to do an event on that, I think.
What, are you going to ransack Falador?
Yeah, sure, you know? Or Draenor, you know?
The sacking of Falador.
You know, Draenor might be more interesting. It's a small
village. Kill all the women
and
children
and
the houses.
And we should be able to take it over more easily, you know what I mean? But
yeah, because you're a bunch of weaklings.
And Halloween update. You know, I suggested the PvP worlds back in January.
Yeah, sure you did, Shane. You probably suggested the holiday of RuneScape in 1999 when you were... 1999, you were... How old were you in 1999?
12,
wow.
Anyways, sorry. They said people have wanted to see a sort of a different update schedule, so they're going to this. Basically, if a month has 5 weeks in it, they'll do one big update and two smaller ones. If it has 4 weeks, they'll do one big update and one smaller one. They called the bigger updates the headliners and the smaller ones the secondary updates.
So they're not doing an update every week now?
No, that's right. So we're gonna have to we're gonna have to do wild cards on those weeks and try and guess when and whatnot.
So that would be a good system, would it not? That we have wild card when there isn't a major update.
Yeah, or Pokemon questions or Star Trek questions.
No, not none of those.
Poll this week: all I want for Christmas, you know the way that song goes.
But all I want for Christmas is for Shane to shut up.
Nope. Okay, first question then.
First question. The first question this week, this Pokemon themed week, is which of the following items would you consider buying from the Jagex store? Sadly, there is no, the options are 2009 calendar, advent calendar, Christmas cards, Christmas crackers, posters, or a woolly hat.
What's an advent calendar?
What?
What's an advent calendar?
It's the calendar with chocolate in it.
Oh.
What do you call them?
I don't know. I've never seen one of those.
You've never seen one of those?
No.
It has a little window for every day of Advent, every day in December, I think it is. And behind each of the little windows is a little piece of chocolate you have every day.
Oh, I think I had those when I was younger. Did you?
Yeah. Yeah, when I was younger. I don't have many more. I think my dad asked me if I wanted one last year, and I'm like, I'm 16. No, I don't. I think he may have just been taking a piss. He does have a tendency to do that.
What?
Making fun, taking the piss.
Oh, I thought you said your dad was taking a piss.
Yes, taking the piss, not taking a piss.
The piss. Oh, okay. Okay, I get you now. So what would you vote?
I refuse to vote in this, as there is no option for go F yourself, Jagex. I'm never buying anything from your store.
Christmas cracker is winning at 32%. 2009 calendar at 23%. Woolly hat, otherwise known as a toucan in Canada, at 21%. Posters, 14%. The advent calendar, 7%. And Christmas cards at 3%. I'd buy the 2009 calendar if they had one.
Would you?
Yes.
Then you are a sadder man than I, Shane Winterwood.
So, there's a vote. But I wonder if they'd actually distribute... I actually may buy a Christmas cracker if they distribute, like, real RuneScape-colored party hats, you know, that actually weren't, like, those cheap ones, you know?
What a nerdy Christmas that would be.
Yeah, wouldn't that be neat?
Would you actually have them at your family's Christmas dinner?
RuneScape-themed ones? Probably not. But who knows?
If we ever had a staff meeting at Christmas, we could get some. Which is funny, seeing as the majority of the staff don't play RuneScape regularly, which is, again, sort of a mockery of the fact that Smash BB. Whatever.
Okay. So, I don't think you'll be seeing any RuneScape Christmas cards on that site. But, I'll move on to the second question. What is your current favorite item in the store? 19% say wireless mouse, followed by 16% betrayal at Falador, and then the black hoodie at 11%.
Again, there is no option for I do not have a favorite item in the Jagex store, so I refuse to vote.
I voted for mug.
You are a mug, Shane.
Oh, please. I wanted, like, a mouse pad or something, but I don't think they have that option on here.
with the farming icon on. You would so buy that, wouldn't you?
Oh yeah, that'd be a good idea. You know?
They should do mouse pads with the skill icons on.
Oh, that's a good idea. Maybe they'll come out, because remember what happened with the top hat?
Yeah, and then before that with the run icon. If Jagex take my idea, I'm suing them. I have this podcast as evidence.
Would you buy a fishing mouse pad?
No, I would buy myself a lawyer so I could sue Andrew Gare's ass off for taking my idea and not giving me any money for it. I'm a reasonable man, Mr. Gower. I'd only want, let's say, 1% of your... No, 1% is a bit low. 10% of your total profits from selling these ideas, from selling these mouse pads. That is my business proposition to you. I look forward to hearing from you. I don't think I'll hear from
you. No. Him. So, there you go. So, that's that. And question three.
Have you purchased anything from the Jagex store? Yes, I have purchased something. Not yet, but I'm planning to purchase something in the future. No, because there's nothing on the store that I would like to purchase right now. No, I have some self-respect left. Sadly, option four is not real, and I just made it up.
54% say no, there's nothing in the store that I would like to purchase right now. Only 5% have purchased something. So there we go, seeing that people actually don't want to buy what's in the store right now. So, there we go. Rather interesting poll this week, I think. But, yeah, who knows?
Yeah, who knows, Shane? Who knows?
I guess we should be... let's not go into that. I think we should be moving on to questions now. You can take the first one of the Pokemon questions.
By the way, Shane came up with this. I did not. I did have no way any sort of influence in picking this topic, nor would I have wanted to have
if,
I given
Well,
the
if you want to choose your topics for questions, post the topic before me. You're welcome
Why
to do
Shane
that
sucks.
Any week.
Questions. What about Pokemon appeal to you? I personally hate Pokemon. That question is from Earth 21072.
271072.
Shane said it faster than me. What about Pokemon appeal to you? I don't know. I think it was probably the RPG aspect, you know. Just the sense. It's sort of like RuneScape and all the other games I seem to like that you run around as somebody and you don't have skills, but I guess Pokemon are sort of kind of skills.
Yeah, that's
I don't know.
Right.
I think it was the RPG aspect.
For me, I'd have to say it was the achievement aspect sort of thing in it and being able to do stuff and really did take quite a while to complete, you know? So, that's what I gotta say about it, and probably just the fact that it was something that became popular.
Yeah, going with the fad.
Oh, I had to sneeze there, almost. But, anyways. So, yeah, I think we sort of both agree on that one, that it's the RPG achievement style aspect, and then basically it's just sort of caught on, you know? So.
Mm-hmm.
What ones did you play?
On the Game Boy.
Yes.
Red, blue, yellow, silver, gold, and what was the one after silver and gold? That was sort of the same as
crystal?
Silver and gold. It was like,
yeah, I think it's crystal.
I don't. Yeah, I think it was crystal. But it's like the bluey one. It was bluey.
Yeah,
is it crystal?
That's crystal.
Yeah, crystal. I didn't play anymore.
I was looking, and crystal is the enhancement of silver and gold.
Yeah, so. I didn't play any more after those that long.
I just played up to silver and gold, and then that's pretty much it. But apparently they released a new one in Japan just recently, past September. Platinum. It's rather interesting. But anyways, moving on. Have you ever collected Pokemon cards? Which one was your favorite? That's from Kevin. You?
Yeah, I used to have some Pokemon cards. Which was my favorite? I had the shiny Charizard card.
Oh yeah, Mike had that one too.
Yeah, from the pack you bought him. I bet Shane hated himself. Actually, my mum, when I was younger, like 10 or 11, she used to have a pen pal she wrote to in Japan. And she actually, this Japanese pen pal of hers actually got me loads of packs of Japanese Pokemon cards.
Oh, so wow.
Somewhere in the attic, I actually have a whole folder full of these Japanese Pokemon cards.
Really?
So
but you can't read them, can you?
No, but they're nice to look at, and if I ever wanted to sell them, I could probably find some Pokemon nerd who'd salivate at the idea of buying Japanese Pokemon cards.
That's interesting. I don't know what one was my favorite, like the just pieces of paper. I'm trying to remember. It was either the plant
one. You're just
one.
Saying that because you're bitter because you didn't get the shiny Charizard.
No. It was either the plant one or the Blastoise that I had that was shiny. Can't remember which one it was.
I don't think I ever actually played the trading card game. You know, game was. I just collected the cards.
Yeah, same. You know.
I remember at my junior school, I think the cards were actually banned. Not sure why, but.
Because people get stabbed over them.
No, I don't think that ever happened at my school, but they were banned for some reason.
Yeah, and I think I don't know. They were just cards. I still have the binder somewhere. I have no idea where it is, but I have lots of them, you know? Lots of duplicates,
Mike still has
too.
I bet has this shiny Charizard.
Yeah, you want me to ask him to take a picture of that for you?
No, I just like the idea that you got it for him. I bet you hated yourself when you got that.
Actually, no. I'm not that kind of person.
Yeah, you are, Shane. I bet you thought, damn it, I could have had a shiny Charizard if only I'd kept that pack for myself instead of giving it to Mike. God damn, Mike, I wish I could murder him.
I'm trying to remember which silver ones I have, but...
The only one I can remember, I had a shiny Mewtwo and a shiny Charizard. Wow.
I know I had the shiny plant one. I know that for sure. And I might have had the shiny psychic one.
There was a lot. You can't just say the type, because there were actually
Alakazam.
Lots. Alakazam. Abracadabra. I actually thought that was really clever, the way they gave the name. There was the one called Abra, evolved into Kadabra, which evolved into Alakazam. I like that.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Kevin. Next one?
What is your favorite Pokemon type? Fire, water, grass. I like rock. That question is from Sword of 24. I'm not sure whether I necessarily had a favorite type. I guess I used to like... I don't know, really. I used to like electric for some reason. Okay. I used to like Electabuzz. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah. I remember that.
Electabuzz. That used to be one of my favorite Pokemon. So electric, probably. It feels so wrong talking about this. It feels like I'm like a Pokemon Aholics Anonymous.
For me, it would be Flying Fire.
Flying Fire
Dragon. Yeah.
So fire, basically.
Yeah, pretty much.
Don't complicate it with Flying Fire.
What's your favorite change? There's a few Flying and Fire ones combined, you know? Like the legendary ones, Charizard. But if I had to pick, I would say fire. Followed by water, then psychic, then rock, I think.
I'd probably say electric, then water. I used to like Blastoise.
Or no. Fire, psychic, water,
They used to be TV programs as well, didn't they? They used to be like a Pokemon TV show. Like cartoon.
Oh, yeah, we used to watch that. Oh, really? Me too.
Yeah. God, this is like a whole section of my childhood I'd forgotten. Probably for good reason.
I think they still show it here at 5 a.m. I'm not sure, though.
I remember I used to watch it in the mornings from at school.
It used to be on after school here.
Used to be on in the morning. Well, it was probably on after school here, but I only used to watch it in the mornings.
Ah,
like
okay.
7 a.m. I think it was on till 7:30. God, why this is like recounting like.
Thank you, anyway. Sorter. What is your favorite type of Pokemon? Personally, I like the Pterodactyl one. That's from Give You Pain.
Well, I sort of answered that. I said I liked Electabuzz.
Okay. Yeah, actually, that's a good point. For me, it was a toss-up between Charizard and the Alakazam. Psychic guy.
Alakazam was a good one.
Yeah. That was the toss up for me. That one was a good one.
Quick question.
Next one.
Next question. Have you guys ever had a Pokemon level 100? If so, how many? I personally have two level 100s and a 98 on one of my games. That question is from Sunset Fish. A great name, by the way. Sunset Fish. I like that name.
Have you?
Probably not legit. They used to be cheats, didn't they? I used plenty of cheats. Did you know the rare candy cheat?
No.
I don't know what, you could somehow get unlimited rare candies, which of course gave your Pokemon one level up when you used it, so it was fairly easy to get the max level. I did actually play a few times legit without using cheats, but I never bothered to, you know, grind my Pokemon to level 100.
I think for some quirky reason I have a level 100 plant one, the one that comes after Ivysaur and the Bulbasaur family. What's that one called?
Venusaur.
Yes, I had a level 100 one of those.
I'm
for some
sad
reason.
I knew that. I felt horrible. I feel like I should go and take a shower after doing this show because I feel so dirty.
Oh, thank you, Sunset Fish.
Love your name. Next question. Do you think the Pokemon games are going downhill with the release of Pearl Diamond, the Pokemon games' appearance, the gameplay? Would you agree that Pokemon is broadcasting to younger audiences with each new game release? And that question is from Blooper Singer. Well, I've not really known much about Pokemon since 2001, which is when Gold and Silver Crystal was released. I mean, I've not followed it at all. So I'm not really apt to comment if it's going downhill, but I would imagine since it was a very popular franchise, they're probably trying to draw out as much money from it as they can. So yeah, they'll probably bring out, you know, Pokemon every damn color of the rainbow if it makes them money.
Well, I'm looking at the list right here. They got Crystal, as you said, which was the enhancement of Gold and Silver, right?
Yeah, Crystal was a ripoff, because I think it was basically Gold and Silver, with like a few monsters added. Why I bought it, I don't know. I was a corporate bitch when I was younger.
Then
still am.
I had Ruby and Sapphire for the Game Boy Advance.
Oh, I played Ruby and Sapphire.
Okay.
I remember playing Ruby and Sapphire, but I'm pretty sure they were the last games I played.
I didn't play those because I didn't have a Game Boy Advance.
Oh, poor boy. I did play Ruby and Sapphire, but Ruby and Sapphire was probably the last I played.
Okay. And then there's Fire Red and Leaf Green, which is an enhancement of the original Red and Blue. So there we go, remaking it again. And then Emerald, which is an enhancement of Ruby and Sapphire. And then Diamond and Pearl is its own, and then Platinum is the enhancement on that. You know, based on what I'm seeing here, yeah, it does sound sort of like they're limiting and whatnot into what actually happens, but I also think there were advancements in gameplay, because if you look at going from the Game Boy Color to the Advance to the DS, you see sort of what's happening. I know one thing that came in was the dual battles. Did you hear anything about that?
No.
Yeah, basically you could use two Pokemon at once.
Oh, right.
And other people could do that as well. And I heard something somewhere about Pokemon being able to hide up in trees, and then you'd have to go up there and get them. So it does sound sort of like it got complicated in that respect or something, but I don't know. As Brad said, we're really not entitled to comment on this, but
What I remember about Ruby and Sapphire, they were still very good games, so
These two titles combined have sold more than any other Game Boy Advance game.
What, Ruby and Sapphire?
Yeah. So
I'm gonna try. I'm probably go and try and dig up my old Game Boy this weekend.
Works. Yeah, just because
I have vague memories of these games.
But Ruby and Sapphire was the one where you had dual battles. That's what it says. Oh, well, new features.
I must have known about it then, since I played those games, but I don't remember it.
Also, due to the game, our innate abilities and natures, the former is shared by every Pokemon of a certain species, while the latter may vary among a particular species. So, I don't know, that's interesting. But nothing like the classics, you know?
But no, nothing like the classics.
Anyways, thank you, Blooper Singer. Moving on. What parties did you have? I used Dragonite, Charizard, Mewtwo, Rhydon, Articuno, and Rhydon with an HY. Interesting.
I can't remember. The only Pokemon I can remember using frequently was Electabuzz and Gyarados.
Gyarados. I actually have that in mind as well.
Gyarados, I just like Gyarados. Electabuzz, Gyarados. I probably used Alakazam since I remember I had a lot of the Abracadabra ones. And probably one of the starting ones, you know, either Bulbasaur or Squirtle. I think I always used to take Squirtle. So I probably had a Blast. No, actually, I wouldn't have had a Blastoise because I always didn't used to take more than one type and Gyarados was my water. I can't remember that long ago.
I remember pretty clearly. A Charizard, a Pikachu, an Alakazam, a Blastoise, a Gyarados, and a Zapdos.
Okay, it's a bit weird you can remember that.
Yeah, well, I actually went to my Yellow and got that before we started. It's in a drawer. So, that's how I remembered that. Also, Shane, I'm getting download speeds of between 3 to 5 kilobytes on a 15 megabyte broadband connection. Is there any way you can speed that up? No. Modern computers are optimized for TCP/IP, so there's nothing you can do on your computer to speed that up. The only thing that could be interfering is a router or your ISP itself. So if you're using a router, try a direct connection to the internet, but make sure your firewall is turned on. If that doesn't work, call your ISP. Thank you. That's from Patrick. Next one. Brad.
Next question. If you ever liked Pokemon, at what point did you drop out and why? For me personally, when the third batch came around, I got kind of bored, and to be honest, they weren't as inventive as the second batch, let alone the first, Andy Masters 24. Well, as we've sort of already covered, mine was probably after Ruby and Sapphire.
Okay. Any particular reason why?
I just moved on, I think. At that time, I moved on to RuneScape, I think.
Yeah, you know, that's sort of what happened with me. After Gold and Silver, I moved on to other computer-related stuff, you know? So that's sort of how that worked for me. Because, you know, when you can go from a single-player game to something online, the online game is much better, even if it's not the same type of game, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But, you know, if... I don't know why they haven't gone this way. Or I don't know if the DS ones can, but wouldn't it be neat to have an online Pokemon MMORPG?
No, that would be very nerdy.
I'd personally give that a try. Because, you know, if you go into that realm, it's completely reinventing the game, you know. You could start off again at Red and Blue, except have interactions with everyone else. So, I don't know. That's what I gotta say about that. I just think it would be interesting. You don't?
No, I don't.
Okay. But, I don't know, that'd just be interesting. Like, base it on the World of Warcraft ending from Blizzard or something.
The World of Warcraft ending?
The engine.
The engine, right, yes. No, I don't think that would be interesting at all. I think that would be worse than RuneScape in terms of nerdiness.
Okay.
Talk about white and nerdy.
Why do you think Pokemon became as popular as I did? Personally, I think Pokemon wouldn't have went anywhere without the trading cards from Total Blocks.
Yeah, I think the trading cards were a good foundation because once the trading cards were popular, you know, they obviously figured, wow, we can sell this as a TV series. There were movies. I remember I went to one of the movies with my dad and I think he just slept through it. you know, if you have one successful product in one area, such as the trading cards for Pokemon.
So the trading cards were first, right?
I think so.
Or was the Japanese TV series or the game first? I think it was...
The TV series makes the most logical as being the first.
And then
once
the cards...
Once you have a TV series, you can bring out all the other merchandise and you know.
And then Nintendo jumped on with the games and...
I think it was popular perhaps as a concept because of the idea of, you know, cute little animals. I think that was probably a big part of it. I mean, they all had like sort of cutie names, didn't they? Like Squirtle and... Or there were the little cute ones that grew into be the big fearsome ones. I think it was all a very good...
Charmander.
Just a very good... Charmander, yeah. it was just all a very good concept, and I think it appealed to both boys and girls, and it was I think it was just very wide reaching and very cute. It all had a very cute feel. It was never dark or sinister, was it? Even the villains were sort of, oh, we're villains. it just seemed to work.
Yeah, that's a good point you have, and I think still with the TV series in reruns, I think they're still picking up new viewers, you know, so.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think you could show it to kids who are, you know, in 10 years' time, they'd probably still find it fun, and they'd still like it.
Yeah, it's but like one of those, it's something that becomes a cultural norm or something, you know?
But the point is, Game Boy games aren't going to be sort of, you know, the sort of the leading edge now, are they? Because back when the Game Boy games came out, the Game Boy was the number one handheld console. Now, handheld consoles are more, you know, the Nintendo DS, the PSP.
iPhone.
So it would have to, yeah, the iPhone, whatever. But I don't know, I just think it was simple yet brilliant. And it was the first game I ever played that had such a large game world, and I think that's also quite a...
Actually, that's true for me as well.
That's, you know, when you've got a big game world to go and explore, I think that's another plus.
And this was, also remember, this was before the time of online, pretty much, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, there was sort of simple...
I had to buy a map from the bookstore. Like a big map that could be read rather
than
just
online.
Didn't
they have a map actually in the game?
Yeah, they did, but, you know, it's so small, like, on the screen. Like, what's the point?
Shane's so blind.
No, it's like I like
actually,
the big maps.
Because you wear glasses, so that was actually a founded comment for a change. Anyway.
So, I don't know. But yeah, I like the DS is good right now, but I don't see it moving away from Nintendo, but they're going to have to innovate with the platform again, you know? Like maybe add... Does the DS have accelerometers, do you know?
I have no idea, but I think if they were to bring out another Pokemon game, they would have to make some big, far-reaching changes. I don't think the sort of the game as it has been thus far would stand up, you know, like, you know... I think they would have to make some fairly large changes, pretty much as they did from... blue to sapphire, no, from red, blue, and yellow to sapphire, or from to gold and silver, basically. Not just sort of making slight plot changes as they did with crystal for gold and silver, yellow for red and blue, and emerald for sapphire and whatever the other one was.
Mm-hmm.
Crystal, no.
Yeah, so, I don't know, that's a good question. Thank you, Total Blocks.
Last question. Have you ever invented your own unique Pokemon? If so, tell us about it. If not, do it right now and then tell us what it... Make it a stir, make it a newbie, it doesn't matter, go wild. That question is from Alex43. No, I've never invented my own Pokemon, and I really lack the creativity to do something.
Yeah, neither have I. So let's invent one right now.
But I lack creativity.
Oh, well, I'll help you.
Okay, well, you can think of a name.
Okay, so first off, let's pick a class. What class? Pick the class.
Let's make it grass.
Okay, grass. So plant,
yes.
Grass. Okay.
Okay, so we've got to think of a plant name. Let's think of a planty name.
I got one.
Go on then, go.
Okay. No, you first.
No, you tell us
your
name.
It's an illegal Pokemon, you know?
What?
It's illegal. Yeah, so I don't know if you want to go with that. Yeah, sure. There you go.
And one of its abilities is called Inhale, in which it forces all opponents to inhale its smoke, which then dazes them and makes them unable to move for the next 99 turns. Also makes their attacks 100% less effective.
Okay, so there you go. That's a plant Pokemon. Does it evolve or anything?
Yeah, it evolves into crack, heroin, LSD, and various other bad habits. We on RSPB Update do not condone the taking of illegal drugs.
Or using illegal Pokemon.
Pot is not cool. Anybody who thinks pot is cool is a dumbass. And I hope they get the break... Anybody here who thinks pot is cool and does pot, please, the next time you do pot, inhale as hard as you can. I want you to get brain damage.
Have you ever done it?
No, never, and I never would try drugs. That's one of the things I would. I'll drink myself silly, but I would never try drugs, which may be a slightly hypocritical stance, but whatever.
Okay, so let's get back on track here. Real plant Pokemon.
We've got to come up with a real one.
Yeah, it's a plant. Does it evolve?
Well, I came up with Cannabisium. Of course it evolves. It'd be boring. Okay. All the Pokemon that evolve were boring.
Okay. Can it do anything special in regards to regrowing itself?
It can look after your farming patches if you give it something. Oh, wait, no, that's risky. Can we just move on? We both lack creative.
We came up with
Cannabisium. And I even gave you an ability add.
Okay, so... I don't know. Plant Pokemon are sort of limited, you know? But
they're sort of lame as well. I mean, fire can completely own them. But then they own water. But then electricity owns water. But then rock owns electricity. But then water owns rock. But then electricity owns water. But then grass owns the water. But then fire owns grass. But then water owns fire.
Yeah, so...
But then grass owns water.
Okay, that's good. That's good. But then water owns grass. Okay. Oh, that's
electricity.
I think you got a few of them messed up. You said
I know.
You
I
said
did.
Electricity.
I realized
owns
that.
Rock,
but I just kept going.
Yeah, and grass owns water. It's the other way. Yeah,
water,
that's
no
right.
Grass owns water.
Yeah, because water
doesn't own
water
grass
fertilizes
water
the grass.
No, grass owns water.
Okay. Yeah, there we go. So it's weak. So we really can't come up with one, but we did come up with a real one, but I wouldn't suggest putting this one into the game.
No. Probably wouldn't sell in Australia. Because games sell in Australia if any real drugs are referenced, I believe.
Really?
Yep.
That's weird, but...
Shows what the pussy Aussies are like, you know. Aussies? My mum used to have a cat called Oscar, she used to call Aussie.
Oh, really?
Damn. That cat's dead now.
Really?
It had a stroke, lost control of its back legs, and died the following night. There's a lovely story for you.
Wow.
Oh.
Anyways, I got the plant Pokemon.
Cannabisium.
No, it's a kind like if you if it it's weak against water, right?
Yes.
So but if
it's weak against water, yet it is strong against rock. But rock is then weak against electricity. Electricity is then...
So if something other than a water, like if a water thing comes to it, it will...
You mean water, which is strong against grass, which is strong against rock, which is strong against electricity, which is strong against water.
Okay. I was just going to say it can be like a tangle vine sort of thing. I don't know, like tank, you name it, but it's sort of like a tangle vine thing. You come close to it, it'll gobble you up and not let you go.
Like a Venus flytrap.
Yes, except it'll use vines and, like, it'll be like tangle vines, you know?
How about you call it Root Lasher?
Sure, there we go. Or Rudy. Yeah, Rudy.
Rudy Giuliani.
I was thinking the same thing. Rudy Giuliani. Wow.
So we came up with a Pokemon called Rudy Giuliani. That is terrible. We are horrible people.
On that note, we should be moving on to tech news.
Yay, time for me to sleep.
No. EA admits pirated copies do not equal lost sales. In regards to Spore.
So, how do they admit this?
EA says that it understands...
Pirated copies admit lost sales. Unless I'm completely misunderstanding this article, if somebody pirates a game, they're not going to go out to a store and hand out money for it, are they?
Just wait. EA says that it understands how an illegally download is not, in any way, a copy that was lost as a sale to a company.
Well, yeah, so I guess, that, I mean, it's not like that product was stolen from them. It's not as if they're losing... Well, they are losing... I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying.
I don't know. Stepping aside from the whole issue on DRM, people need to recognize that every BitTorrent download doesn't represent a successful copy of the game, let alone a lost sale. Understanding this, the company is getting ready to shift its approach so that it rewards the customer rather than punishing everyone for the sins of pirates.
Yeah, I sort of understand what you mean by that after reading that article. People who, you know, if pirating was made impossible, that doesn't necessarily mean that everybody who might have pirated a game would have bought it. Because there have certainly been games which I've acquired through... I've just taken myself a hole here. There have certainly been games that I have borrowed from friends in a completely legal manner that I would not have purchased on my own had I not had that ability to lend them. I think I got out of that one fairly well.
Yeah, you did. You know, it's about time that they realize like this. Even back in the day with Battlefield 2 and Battlefield 1942, this was a problem for them doing this, and it's just gotten worse and worse over time. And quite frankly, I really don't look up to EA as a game maker. You know, like if you look at any of their games, they're so slow at loading. Like, preload all this shit before.
They're behind Warhammer Online, and that's been fairly awesome so far. So they are slightly redeeming themselves in my eyes.
Well, maybe it's a different division.
The fastest selling
MMO
history beat WoW for fastest selling.
Wow.
It will probably never beat WoW in subscriber numbers, but they put one number up.
I don't know. So it's good that EA is doing this, and hopefully we'll start seeing these changes before it gets too late.
Let's face it, though. Nobody really likes the big company. Tell me one massive company the size of EA that people actually like.
Apple.
That was funny. Nobody likes Apple except Apple
Microsoft.
Fanboys. Okay, that was stupid. I mean universally that is loved.
Oh. Are we talking software?
No, anything.
Big company that's loved.
No big companies are really loved, are they?
No, unless you count... Yeah, that's a good point. Who? Who? I don't know.
Boo.
Do you have any?
Crying.
Lockheed Martin?
They're loved?
No, I'm just pulling names out of my head. But really, I have no ideas.
Ruth Giuliani.
Oh, anyways, moving on from this, Google Moderator. It's rather interesting. It's sort of like Yahoo's questions feature, but a little more streamlined, if you know what I mean. Basically, you can create a series which is the category for a question, right? And then in there, it has the question with it. So, like, multiple topics. So it's like the category, and then it has multiple questions, like... For instance, when they have Ask a World Leader, if you could ask any world leader, past, present, or future, what would it be? And they got a list of topics, including Barack Obama, the Dalai Lama, George Bush, Gordon Brown. Let's click on that one. So here's one. If you could reverse one of your decisions from your first year in power, what would it be? 37 like this question, 10 don't like this question.
I think if Gordon Brown could reverse one decision from his first year in power, it would be challenging for the leader, for the Labour leadership and prime ministership of the country in the first place. But so far, he has been really rubbish at it. And unless he seriously bucks up his ideas, he will lose the election next year.
How was he elected?
He wasn't elected. Tony Blair stood down and he was... well, actually, they were going to have a Labour Party leadership contest, but nobody else actually stood up against him. So... His party, I think they may have elected him, but nobody had serious objections to him in his party, so he was pretty much given it without a contest.
Interesting.
And the rest of the country just has to put up with it.
You know, that's sort of how it can happen here sometimes. Like when Paul Martin lost the last election, he put his former defense minister in charge, and then in December they had a leadership convention, and then of course you got this nut job called Stéphane Dion winning by like some obscure voting system,
man.
Like,
and I think Stéphane Dion is a role model for how all people should act and behave in life and society.
So, but then in our provincial progressive,
see any relation
election,
to Celine?
No.
Dion.
No.
He's not her father or anything.
No, but he
that would
does
be...
have a but he does have a dog named Kyoto.
After the Kyoto Agreement,
yes,
you told me.
That's such a stupid agreement. But, anyways, moving on from that, shall we? Unless you have anything else you want to talk about
nope.
Regarding...
Nothing else.
You could also ask to Hugo Chavez. Venezuela,
Hugo Chavez,
John McCain.
Why are you such a dick?
Actually, Nelson Mandela.
I'm not sure what I'd like to ask Nelson Mandela.
What about... You know, why aren't there other leaders on here?
Is Stephen Harper on there?
No.
Nobody cares about Canada.
Hey, there's this one in Any Other World Later to Sarah Palin. Do you believe that dinosaurs were walking the Earth, A, millions of years ago, B, 3,000 to 5,000 years ago? 62 like this question, 15 don't like this question.
Do you think Stephen Harper isn't on the list of world leaders because Canada is on strike? Canada says no more, no more neglect, we want respect, that's what we're striking for.
Oh.
I think poor cats can all just take a hike. Canada on strike.
Oh, and in other news, the Dow Jones is down after the bailout passed.
Yeah, but the bailout still passed, so, yeah. It's funny how the bailout in its original form was not acceptable, yet as soon as they added loads of tax breaks for the rich, the Republicans were all over it. That's really sort of, you know, why would the Republicans only want to... In fairness, I think more Republicans... against than for, but
I'm against it. Are you?
I was against the bailout. I read an article on Dig earlier this week, which I believe the guy had the perfectly right idea, and it turned me away from the bailout, which he said he believes the company should be forced to take bankruptcy.
Yeah, exactly.
It's better.
Just like any other company, you know,
gambled on the economy.
Like they talked about a free market economy and whatnot. So why are the banks getting help when other companies would have to take bankruptcy?
But it's a travesty.
Time to move on to rants.
It's a lot of things. Rants, okay, I'll take the rants. Again, rants are getting difficult to find, so I'm really being forced to scrape the bottom of the proverbial barrel, if you will. Anyway, first rant. It's in absolutely every... start again. Take two. In absolutely every single skill other than summoning, you can train it for free. Why are we forced to pay for construction? It seems downright unfair to me, it does. Not only does it cost, it costs! Exclamation mark. If you want a demonic throne, it costs 22 million GP for a fancy-looking chair. Unfair. Construction for the poor. Let us make our own planks with a saw at least. Why can't we, after all? Also, it costs over 100,000 for a single marble block and millions to make the best furniture. I say divide the outrageous price on marble block, gold leaf, and magic stones by at least 10, although 20 sounds better to me. And I just know you're going to say, unfair if you already got 99 instruction. Well, tell me, if you get bullied at school, does it make it fair to bully others? Oh my god, that's retarded. He didn't write that, I just said it. Besides, just give them a couple mil and it's all fine. I've just got one sentence to say to this idiot. Construction was added to the game as a money sink. That is all.
Yeah, and anybody who doesn't think that should be forced to reevaluate their outlook on the game because, well, that's just the way it goes. If you remember the economy before then, there's an influx of GP and, you know, they did that to sort of control the market in a subtle way, which is a better way of doing it than the so-called grand exchange, but oh well. But you know, it technically it does make sense that you can do that with construction, but it was designed to be a money sink because it's a skill designed to show off your wealth to your friends. So therefore, if you're wealthy, you can afford to have people make the planks for you. You know, like if you're building an add-on to your house or furniture, do you go out chop a tree down and make your own planks, or do you go to the hardware store and buy pieces of lumber, you know? Which do you
exactly
do?
Exactly. I would hire somebody else to do it for me completely so I did not have to worry about such decisions.
So are you bad with tools then?
Sort of. I'm not bad with tools, but I'm certainly not good with them.
Ah. Oh. Okay. We have a show here called Canada's Worst Handyman. You think you'd be able to go on that?
I certainly wouldn't be the worst. I'm average. I'm average at most things, I find. I am average.
Hey, that could be your slogan, Bradley.
What? Just another, I am average.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
not much of a slogan.
Like
I could have my own TV show, like Average Man. We need a highly trained, professional, skilled, amazing person for the job. Oh well, we'll have to settle for him. I am average.
Another rant. This is a short one. 4 lines.
It's not 4 lines.
The best weapon in a game. In the game, a whip. It doesn't even look cool. It only costs a field mill 2 and 70 attack. I seriously think a mere whip, no matter how abyssal it is, would be that good. God swords look a lot cooler, and they actually look like they're powerful and take 75 attack and cost 100 times more than a whip. Strengthen the god sword? No. Weaken the whip. Disclaimer, I don't get beat up by whip users, so I'm not moaning about that. I can't use a whip yet, so I'm not moaning about... and I can't afford a whip, but for the previous reason, I'm not moaning about that. The reason, I'm level 61. Right. This guy's an idiot.
Basically, I think the whip doesn't look that bad. I think he thinks it looks bad because a lot of people have it. If the whips were as rare as the god swords, then he would probably think it was cool.
Yeah. So, is there any reason, like, the whip, actually, they did do a graphical update to it when HD came out, so there's that point. So, with that, you know, I don't know what I'm trying to say, but I'm just trying to say that the whip has become sort of like a staple, you know, over the past year, while the god sword has become the advanced sort of item.
So. Yeah, because in days gone by, the whip was the advanced weapon. Now it has lost that status.
And then in those days, the dragon scimitar and the dragon longsword were the staples, right?
I thought the scimitar came out after the whip.
Yeah, it did, but... Oh, it did? Yeah, it did, but anyways. I'm just saying that those dragon items were originally like that, but... Anyways.
The dragon battle axe and the mace and the sword.
Oh yeah, those ones were the original ones when RuneScape 2 came out. Those four. The dagger, the battle axe, the mace, and the long. Anyways, with that said, time to be moving on to some other things. First thing up, we'd like to welcome Schwa to the Informer.
Three groups now.
Who is going to be a RuneScape writer for us, so... Take a turn in welcoming him. He'll be starting his articles later this month.
Third group.
Yeah.
Anyone else on three group besides me? Because
there was a point when somebody was before. I think it might have been Kelsey. I think that.
So now
the
pressure's on him to see if he can maintain performance across.
Yeah, that's right. Anyways, time for a little bit of Skill of the Month update, and this does sort of relate to the rant. This month is construction. What do you know? Warren's winning with 417k XP. Second place, MageGuy08, 75.9k. Third place, Zach Glenn with 40.9k XP.
So it's really not a competition at this point.
No, and considering somebody got 99 in a week, we're not going to see the end of this one until the last week of October. Which is going to be a very scary week at that. But yes. Anyways, so that's that. Skill of the Month, rsbnb.com/SKOTM. I'd also like to... Yes, got him. I'd also like to point out that the verdict is in. Extreme Conditioning has won.
Yes. Yes.
You know, it sort of sets in what was I thinking, but oh well, it's something just you do. It's not something
you said it now, Shane. Much like me promising to get 99 fishing, which I did do, you have now got to get 99 agility.
Oh, I'll do that, don't worry.
You've got to, Shane.
You know, it's about 50k an hour, so there's not much to worry about there. It's not like mining or something or runecrafting for that matter.
It would still take you like well over 20 hours from 98 to 99.
Mm-hmm.
So when do you plan to hit 99 by? You got any rough estimate?
I have no real time constraints here.
You have no real time frame at the moment. Are you talking like, are we looking at summer 09 possibly?
No, before then.
Before summer 09, so.
Yeah.
Perhaps quarter one, 2009, the first quarter.
Yeah, that would be the conservative estimate.
conservative. What would be the wrong estimate, the liberal estimate?
December.
December, December.
So,
those
are the two estimates. So, anyways, what have you been doing?
What? Sorry?
What were you going to say? If you got it by...
If you got it by December, it would be a shock.
Yeah, it would be. So that's why it's the non-conservative estimate. The realistic. I don't know what I'm saying, but what have you been doing?
Not much.
Not much. What? Anything you want to share?
No. Have we mentioned we're recording this Friday?
Yeah, because you had to go out yesterday. Yeah, I did earlier.
At short notice.
Yeah, and last week you had to run off. Everybody's okay now, though?
Yeah, but whereas last week's was I didn't know about, this week's I did know about, but I forgot. I remembered.
You want to tell us where you were?
I was out, friend's birthday, I'd agreed to take her out.
Oh, that's good.
Which is a stupid promise. I was also driving, so I couldn't drink, which was, again, very bad. Never promised to take people out. Never promised to drive because you can't drink. Well, you could, but I never drink when I drive because it's not something you want to risk, even one.
Exactly.
And never... It's also expensive. Never... Because when you say to somebody, I'll take you out, you sort of assume responsibility for paying.
Yeah, that's right. But anyway, so I think we're done then, unless you have any other Pokemon stuff you want to talk about.
Got a Kachamon in here, Pokemon. No, I don't.
I thought you were going to sing.
Pokemon, got a Kachamon. I can't even remember the theme song.
Anyways, with that said, I think we're done. We'll see you guys all next week. Goodbye, everyone.
Yeah.